Welcome.
Yeah, thank you very much. Like you say, retail getting a bit of a bloodbath. We saw Mr. Price, Woolies get absolutely hammered today. Mr. Price, fashion same store sales, we saw them down 2.7%, Woolies down 2.4%. So although we saw a bit of a pickup in retail sales during the end of last quarter, and generally those are mainly buoyed by household furniture and appliances, but the retailers definitely coming under some kind of pressure. I think Mr. Price cited their downside to reduced consumer spending, higher VAT prices, and a slight interest rate hike last year. Woolies, on the other hand, cited that their sales were lower due to a much smaller clearance, winter clearance sale. So two totally different views there. The interesting part of it, although, was Woolies, we saw the Australian operations actually perform slightly better. I think their fashion side, their D Jones up 0.9%, Country Road up 0.5%. They were actually outperforming the South African operations. We do know, however, that they are going through a major restructuring that side of the world. So that seems to be working out and coming through for them quite positively there.
It is interesting. I was chatting to Sid Vianello earlier on in the week, sort of Mr. Retail in South African analyst circles. And he just said, apocryphally, walking through the Woolies stores over December, he noticed that the sales had started a lot sooner. They were in December, not in your sort of January post the Christmas splurge. And also that the sale racks were a lot smaller than what he had seen in the past. And he said it could be one of two things. Either they were really shrewd with their buying this year and they got that bang on and it was just enough, or they were trying to boost the numbers. From this, it looks like the latter.
Possibly. I mean, look, we know, generally speaking, retailers were under immense pressure last year. I mean, everyone you spoke to in any form of retail business, generally struggling, and I think it comes also to prove that although we have come out of this technical recession, it's been a very moderate move out of that recession. And I still think we're feeling the effects of it, really, to be honest with you. So I agree with you, probably the latter there. I think the guys are just being just a lot more cautious.
And if you look at Mr. Price, it did seem to be priced for perfection. I know at its last update, it was in the peer group, really the standout performer. And many were looking to Mr. Price to regain some of its former glory. We always knew it as Mr. Consistent, Mr. Reliable when it came to earnings. That was until we saw the international players come into the market, the Cotton Ons and the H&Ms and the Zaras. And they seemed to discount quite heavily into Mr. Price's target market and looked like they were getting the buying right and taking some market share. Do we still see signs of that in these results from Mr. Price?
Possibly. The one thing that I've noticed with these bigger retailers that come in from overseas is that they also get very favorable rental agreements with the larger malls. And I think over the first couple of years, that benefits them quite immensely. But Mr. Price, I think what we definitely see coming out of them is a slowdown in consumer confidence, definitely. I mean, like I said, it's a no-frills setup. And to see them coming under pressure definitely tells you that, there's some serious underlying problems still. In terms of the bigger guys, look, maybe they've got bigger balance sheets and the bigger support from the offshore head offices, who knows. I'm not too familiar with how they operate, but it was interesting to actually see, like I mentioned earlier, that when they do come into a country like South Africa and into these big malls, they do get favorable rental agreements, which does kind of help them to get onto their feet, which makes a bit of a difference in the first couple of years of operations, at least.
Yeah, and one wonders how much as well the poor economic environment is forcing some of the traditional Mr. Price shoppers to trade down to perhaps the likes of Pep or Ackermans. So it'll be very interesting once we see all the retailers having reported to see where some of that spend is going, or if it's just across the board. What makes me question whether or not it is across the board was that plot twist late in the day. TFG, please don't call them the Fashini Group anymore. They always stress they're now TFG. There are a whole bunch of more brands than just Fashini in there. They actually released a really decent trading update in the late afternoon. Share price was down 7% at one point. Quite a stunning reversal. It traded more than 2% higher the last time I looked. And on the face of it, rightly so, a decent set of numbers, these.
They were surprisingly strong. I didn't delve too much into their numbers, into their sense, to be quite honest with you, but I would have to agree with you. It was very surprising to see them come up with such strong numbers.
Yeah, it was very late in the day. Clothing sales in South Africa and the rest of the continent were up by more than 12%. Homeware up 8%. Jewelry gaining around 4%. Total turnover was up by almost 23%, and quite good performances in the UK and its Australian operation, certainly bucking a trend of the likes of Brait and a few others that have gone into the UK of late. I don't know, Vasily, if you looked at the FT at all today, there was a very interesting story about Coronation being the South African-based fund manager that was left holding unsecured bonds in New Look, and they were the big losers in this whole restructure.
Yeah, I did see that, but I think at some point I think the guys are beginning to price that in, and I think they're going to probably write that down, and we'll take it from there. I think also Coronation Brait, we've seen a couple of our dual listers also coming under pressure with this whole Brexit scenario. Nobody really knows where it's going to and how it's going to affect markets or the currencies at the stage. But I mean, sure, May went through a massive defeat the other day. We saw that. It didn't seem to put any gloom on our markets as such. But I think for companies like Brait into a couple of other dual listers, I think they might still be under pressure for the short term until we have more clarity coming up from that side.
Yeah.
But in terms of New Look, I think the guys have pretty much threaded down the majority of that.
And speaking of our market, I was actually quite amazed with UK capital markets and the way they treated the Brexit news. I mean, if you look at it, sterling obviously surprised everyone heading in the other direction, which shows that currency traders had largely baked in the outcome. But equity markets also largely shrugged off the news. Perhaps this defeat meaning that, I don't know, things are so bad they can only get better. It does seem almost counterintuitive, considering what you just said. We still don't know how this is going to end.
Sure. I think two reasons there. I think number one, it was a simple case of buy the rumor, sell the fact. I think everybody expected the defeat. And we did see a spike in the GBP straight after it was announced, and then sort of started stabling and coming right again a little bit, for trying to find its feet. But certainly, I think most of the guys had already priced that in. They priced the news in. They were expecting the defeat to come through. I think what was surprising there was how massively she was defeated, actually. But I think most players had priced in the defeat. And so, yeah, like I said, simple case of buy the rumor, sell the fact. And I think the other thing was, I think straight after that, the Chinese also came out and they said that they were going to add more stimulus. And we buoyed the market straight away. So I think between a combination of the two, we got, a favorable move to the upside.
Vasily, stay right there. We just have to cross to Pusuletso to find out what's happening out on the roads.
This is Classic Business with Michael Avery on Classic 1027 in Gauteng and FMR in Cape Town.
Welcome back. With your view from the market is Vasily Gerassi, trader at BP Bernstein Stockbrokers. Vasily, the other big talking point, obviously, was that decision by the Reserve Bank not to hike rates. Not that it was surprising at all. I think we all expected that. But it was the language that was used in the note here. And I recall Nazmira Muller coming out, and often I find bank economists, they have to play the diplomatic game. And they generally, I wouldn't call it mealy-mouthed, but they're quite diplomatic in their responses to Saab decisions. Last time round, and just to quote from Nazmira's note here, in November, we argued that the 25 bips hike they instituted at the time was a mistake and that the Saab's inflation forecasts were wrong. Well, today's MPC statement confirms that view. Given the weakness of growth, the current CPI forecasts warrant the consideration of rate cuts. Do you think we're likely to see rate cuts or an apology from the MPC?
We probably want an apology in terms of rate cuts. Yeah, look, I think what has been very favorable to the market was what we saw over the period that we're referring to was a decline in international oil prices. We had a slightly stronger rand, which also contributed to a better outlook. The lower food prices in general contributed to a lower CPI. But I think going forward, I think that we still have geopolitical risk, and I think we still have a lot of market volatility. And I think that is really what's causing the guys to jitter a little bit.
And the inflation forecast, headline inflation, now expected to average 4.6% in 2018. That's just down by 0.1%, down from 4.7%. And 4.8% this year, down from 5.5%. I got that wrong. I said 2020 in my introduction. It's actually this year. That's a massive change. Obviously, the oil price, as you say, has moderated. There are still geopolitical risks. But at the time of the last Saab meeting, we could already see what was happening to the oil price and see what was happening to the rand. What has changed since then?
I don't know. Look, sure, the oil price was coming down. I don't know if the time it was coming down, you know, as significantly as we've seen it come down over the December period. I think they revised the oil price down to about $62 per barrel. They said that that's probably where we're going to find the bottom. It could possibly be. We also said the Americans and the U.S. markets coming out and the Fed saying that they're going to be more moderate in their rate hikes, although, you know, not completely out of the woods there either. So it's very difficult. You know, the market has been a bit of a conundrum over the last 6 months or so. It's been quite difficult to judge. And to be honest with you, it's very difficult to call going forward. I think what we are seeing is that a lot of guys, and we're seeing a stronger rand, that's a bit perplexing to me still. And I think the only reason or the only thing I can think of at this stage, and hence maybe contributing factor to what you've just said, is possibly the fact that we're seeing a lot of foreign investment still coming into our bonds. Although we're not seeing any kind of buying in our equities as such, I still think that the net outflows, I think the last 4 years we've had net outflows, in fact. So foreigners definitely not interested in our equity market, but certainly interested in the yield and buying up our bonds. And maybe that stronger rand contributing there a little bit, and maybe the fact that they've also kind of finding a bottom to the barrel, to the oil price at about $62 per barrel could be contributing factors.
Yeah,
but certainly, but a lot of risks going forward. I mean, we saw Eskom coming out today, and you know, if you look at the amount of money that these guys require, it's very difficult to actually imagine the rand would actually stay as strong as it has.
Yeah, we saw the statement flag that the risks to the growth forecast are on the downside, and they cite weak business and consumer confidence, and obviously the fact that that could be exacerbated by electricity supply constraints.
Exactly.
Eskom is still the number one issue in the room. That's why I find it so interesting, the statement that was made by the president ahead of the World Economic Forum in Davos next week. There was a breakfast held yesterday in Rosebank, I think it was, where he was addressing businessmen. And in the article, in the Business Day article, he's quoted as saying, well, we've reached a point on Eskom where we feel we've come to a solution. We can park it to one side. What's the solution, Mr. President? Please do share, because it seems to be vexing some very bright minds in the energy space. I know of WhatsApp groups all over the place trying to figure out how we solve the Eskom crisis. The solutions, I do think, are there. It's not insurmountable, but they require political fortitude and testicular fortitude here that we haven't yet seen from the president, certainly not in the build-up to the election. So do you expect to see any certainty around Eskom until before or after the election?
I would imagine probably after the election. And I mean, you know, let's not forget, Eskom is just one part of it. I mean, we've got all the other SOEs that are finding themselves in deep trouble as well. And, you know, hence again, this is my conundrum. You've got these SOEs that are in serious need of bailout, or some kind of restructuring has to take place, whether we're looking at some kind of privatization, selling off some of the assets, who knows. But, you know, the Eskom is just one part of it. And this is why I struggle to see this czar remaining this strong. And hence why I say the only logical explanation to me is that guys are coming in and buying our bonds. And this, for me, could possibly be skewing, you know, the inflation outlook as well, to go back to your earlier point, because certainly, although there's slight optimism in global growth at the moment, I still think that the short-term risks are skewed to the downside. So, yeah, I always take these numbers with a pinch of salt going forward, to be quite honest with you.
And speaking of the oil price, we've seen some big moves in Sasol recently. I think the share price is down something like 30% since September of last year, tracking largely that bear market correction, that bear market that we've seen in oil price, not just a correction. Is that justified? We also saw some terrible news this week out of its U.S. Lake Charles ethane cracker project. Is that justified, or are you looking at Sasol now and thinking, perhaps a wee nibble on a buying opportunity?
I think Sasol, both from a fundamental and a technical point of view, is now looking interesting. It has pulled back quite a bit. It has been a little bit of a surprise. I cannot, from a technical reason, say why it has pulled back to where it has pulled back. I can say from a technical reason now that it's reaching certain levels of support and it's looking interesting as a buy. From a fundamental point of view, I still think Sasol is a good long-term buy, but I think short-term it has been hurt a little bit by some negative news. I think it was also implicated in some possible corruption dating back to about 1999, I believe. I remember reading an article along those lines. So I'm not sure at this stage if there just isn't a bit of negative sentiment around Sasol based on some negative news more than any other reason.
And obviously we've also got US earnings season keeping us very busy. Netflix coming out with an interesting announcement, upping its subscription fees by between $1 and $2, which doesn't sound like an awful lot, but for a company that is still not generating cash, in fact burning through cash at quite a rapid rate, any boost to its top line must be welcomed by shareholders. Vasily, great chatting to you, and look forward to getting your view from the markets in the not too distant future.
It's an absolute pleasure. Thank you very much.
That was Vasily Gerassi, trader at BP Bernstein.